The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey, folks, welcome. Yes, it's John Zmierak as my guest on the program. We decided to have you on, John. How are you? I understand that you had some kind of COVID strain, and it obviously killed you.
It put me out of commission. I tested positive for COVID a week ago today, and I slept for 22 hours a day for six consecutive days.
It was near death. 24 hours a day could be considered death, but it's only 22.
So between curling up with the Beagles and listening to lots and lots of history podcasts to help sort of drifting in and out of sleep, I feel kind of okay. Of course, I wasn't able to take the COVID medicine that I wanted, ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, because even though I had a doctor willing to prescribe them, there are no pharmacies willing to fill those prescriptions.
Okay, what do we make of this? What do you make of this?
That the medical establishment has been completely conquered by Big Pharma. And Big Pharma has conquered the government, or worked with the government to conquer us, so that they can force us to take experimental gene therapy rather than safe, well-tested, well-represented drugs like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine that have been used safely for decades in animals and human beings. Instead, we all have to take this weird immunogene therapy based on spike proteins that might infect your bodily organs indefinitely. We don't know. It's never been tested for safety. It never will be tested for safety. It's being tested on the whole global population. They're the lab rats. And those of us, you and I, who have somehow managed to contrive not to succumb to the mark of the beast, we are the control group. So we're the ones who will show what natural immunity would be and how the human body would react to this engineered virus. Without
John, that's why both of us are dead. Why we're lying in cold graves right now. If only we had taken the dead baby vaccine, we would be alive.
That's
right.
But
we were obstinate. We believe killing babies in the womb is a bad thing. And because of that parochial idea that we have, that we cling to, like our guns and Bibles, because of that, we're dead.
Our friend Keith Guinta wrote a really good piece that you shared.
Oh, Keith Junta. Junta. It's pronounced Junta. It's spelled funny. G-U-I-N-T-A. Keith Junta has been a friend for 30 years, and he writes, thank you for reminding me, people need to
really
go to winepatch.org, the blog. He wrote an article. It's an amazing article, and I hope people will go to winepatch.org. I've shared it on social media, but go ahead.
In the piece, which he calls a pandemic of the aborted, he points to an article. We did a five-part series at stream.org by Julie Colarafi. She documents that the gain-of-function research that Anthony Fauci funded in China that created this virus entailed using organs from unborn babies, attached to mice, fused to mice to create these monstrous little chimera, these little human mouse monsters. That's where the COVID developed. It developed in that little half mouse, half aborted baby monster that was created in the lab. And the reason that the remedies for COVID seem to be easier, it's easier to make the remedies on those little monsters. So the COVID, they created COVID using a baby mouse hybrid. And as a result, the cures and the treatments for it are easiest on hybrids like that. So the monstrous research that created this virus is demanding more and more aborted babies and more organs taken from their bodies while their hearts are still beating to be fused to mice to produce more therapy. So it's this demonic, vicious cycle of
it's just hard to believe
sacrifice leading
that this is real. I know it's real, but it's so gruesome. It's so monstrous, so horrifying that I want to look away. But you've written about it. There are articles at stream.org about it. And now my friend Keith Giunta, G-U-I-N-T-A, he has written this article at winepatch.org or .com. I don't know. But it's important that we're honest about this. And John, you were the one that brought this to my attention. Are you then convinced that there is no question that COVID was created by human beings, that this is how COVID came into being, and you have people like Fauci and others denying it, but they know too?
Yeah, I think it's beyond doubt that it's the result of human engineering. I think the only real question is, was it released on purpose? Was it released by accident? Did they simply decide to make the most of, not let a crisis go to waste. Remember Rahm Emanuel, mayor of Chicago, never let a crisis go to waste. Well, the left certainly didn't let this crisis go to waste. They used it to destroy the economy under Trump. They used it to steal the election. And now they've used it to steal our constitutional liberties. One of my close friends who applied for and got a religious exemption from the vaccine in New York City is now he then developed COVID and has recovered. And now he's going to have to actually take the vaccine anyway, because his company, while his company's trying to accommodate him, they're a good company, they mean well, but it's simply not possible for him to do his job entirely remotely. It's not working out. And the city won't let him go back to work, even though he's recovered from COVID and has a vigorous natural immunity. They're going to make him take a vaccine, which is actually dangerous once you've had the disease, in order simply not to be unemployable.
I can't believe this is happening in America, folks. In case you're wondering whether we are shocked, yes. We are shocked and sickened, but we have to talk about it. We have to be honest about it. And John, I'm just grateful for your voice in this, because some of these things really, they've gotten so confused. So many people are just going along with it. Obviously, Donald Trump and Franklin Graham, people that I would generally agree with on many things, they are saying people should get the vaccine. Of course, they're not in favor of vaccine mandates. But that's kind of where we are right now. Thankfully, the Supreme Court struck down Biden's outrageous overreach, trying to get every company in America that has 100 or more employees mandate the vaccine. I don't know what's the biggest news, you know, because people say it was so great that it was struck down. Then I think to myself, the idea that it had to be struck down, the idea that it was floated by this administration, is just astonishing to me.
Yeah, we are fighting off the imposition of a public health dictatorship. And here's the sort of logic point, little chunk of logic I think you should hurl in people's faces. Currently, the law of the land is that privacy is such a sacred American right that a woman can abort her 9-month fetus at will. But if she wants to eat at TGI Fridays, she has to show the hostess her vaccine passport. Riddle me that, Batman.
It's simply unbelievable. And of course, Kavanaugh did not seem to want to side with with the constitutionalists when it came to the healthcare workers mandate. We'll be right back talking to John Zmirak. It's the Eric Metaxas Show.
You now, or just chasing after some finer day.
Hey there, folks. Have you ever looked for a business podcast? You're into business, but you also like to be entertained. So you're looking for a funny business podcast. Well, some of them try to be funny. They're just not funny. Which is a problem. I think I have the answer for you. If you like business news and current events with a side of actual comedy, you want to listen to, I can't say this with a straight face, it's called IP Frequently. The hosts are David and Brad. IP Frequently, solid business advice that leans right, conservative, comes with 80s music and current events. They're calling it the unicorn of business podcast. Is that a good thing? If it's funny, it is a good thing. They're also calling it the holy grail of business podcasts. Subscribe to IP Frequently and stay up to date on their weekly stream of episodes wherever you get your podcasts. Go to ipfrequently.com. That's ipfrequently.com.
Welcome back. We're talking to our friend John Zmirak, Big Bad John Zmirak, who has COVID and who obviously has died. It's so sad. John, I'm so sorry this had to happen.
I'll tell you, it's a nasty virus. I have a strong immune system. I once went 20 years without even getting a common cold. And this thing hit me like a train. And unfortunately, I haven't been able to get the medicine that I want, that I trust.
I think I hear Marley's ghost rattling around with the chains. Is that my imagination?
I'm sorry. My beagles are getting pretty excited because they've been cooped up here with me in the house for a week.
Well, okay. So we were talking about it referenced in my friend Keith Junta's article at Wine Patch, the idea that for sure aborted children were used in, is it in the creation of the virus? Is that what we're talking about right now?
In the creation of the virus itself, the gain of function research that was taking place in China almost certainly included these hybrids of human baby organs combined with mice. And these things are now being used very widely in COVID research. We did a 5-part series on them at stream.org about, there are hundreds of these combined creatures, these little monstrous creatures that are being used for all sorts of COVID research. So in a way, basically COVID has been the pretext to make aborted baby organs a central part of American medicine now. And we saw that the NIH, Francis Collins and Fauci, funded the partial birth abortions of hundreds of children at the University of Pittsburgh.
Hang on a second. I want to be clear. There are two separate issues. We've talked on the program, and you've talked about the idea that all three vaccines somehow were made possible because of aborted babies. We've talked about that.
Right.
And it's one of the reasons that you and I refuse to get the vaccine. But right now we're talking about something that is in many ways much more obvious and horrifying. We're talking about not something that happened in 1967, but we're talking about in the last couple of years, research in Wuhan involved. It's not just abortion. In other words, it's even more gruesome than some abortion. So say this again, just so people don't misunderstand what we're discussing.
They created the virus using aborted baby organs fused with mice. That's how they created the virus. And now they're using these abominations of baby organs and mice to research how to cure the virus. You understand?
Yep.
Created the virus using these monstrosities. And now, oh, well, we have this virus. We have to use these monstrosities to cure the virus. Got it?
But even more horrifying than the general idea that they use the organs from relatively mature human fetuses is how they got those organs. Yes. This is what I find almost impossible to talk about because it's so sickening.
The only way you can get useful organs from an unborn baby is to dissect it while the baby is still alive. You can't get useful tissue out of a corpse. Just the way if you need a heart transplant, you need somebody who's on life support, who's declared brain dead, but his heart is still beating. That's the only way the organs are still useful. It's the same with unborn babies.
Okay.
So if you, David DeLeiden has released the documents where the University of Pittsburgh is bragging that the heart of the fetus is still beating when these organs are removed. So this is the University of Pittsburgh boasting about the fact that it is vivisecting unborn children to provide organs for the COVID industry.
And remind us, if we're interested in seeing what he wrote about this, where would we look?
If you go to stream.org and you look up Sacrificing Children, we have a 5-part series by Julie Colarafi, and I'll send it to you, Derek, and you can share it on social media again.
Well, John, I mean, I think I always get most horrified after I'm horrified at the initial horror at the idea that conservative media is really not covering this. Has Fox News covered this? Is Newsmax covering this?
No. I've talked about it a little bit on Bannon once or twice, but other than that, no, it's not being discussed.
Is Steve Bannon pushing this at all?
Not so far. So Steve has focused on the constitutional argument for personal freedom and choice about the vaccine. I don't know that he's wanted to really focus on the moral horror of what we are being dragged into through COVID medicine.
I was sharing yesterday on this program that Chuck Colson, when my Bonhoeffer book came out, he was a real champion of the book, and he would talk about it wherever he went because of the gruesome parallels that he saw, you know, 10 years ago. He could see these things happening in America. And one of those things, of course, that I write about in the Bonhoeffer book is the T4 euthanasia program. All of this led, of course, to Dr. Mengele and other doctors doing the most gruesome things with adult humans. But when you talk about a Fauci, and God forbid a Francis Collins, being involved in experiments that are this gruesome, it makes it difficult to comprehend that somebody like a Fauci would be involved in something like this, that he would be aware something like this was happening, that nobody would talk about it if that were true.
If you are a Darwinian, if you believe that human life is the result of genetic mistakes, of chemical, first, all life comes from chemical transcription errors, and all advancement comes through just the ruthless survival of the fittest. No divine intentionality, no divine design, no divine intervention at any point in the development, not just of life, but of human life. If you believe all that, if you believe in Darwin, then it makes sense to treat unborn babies as lab rats. It makes sense to engage in eugenics and euthanasia and abortion. I'm not surprised when Darwinians endorse these things. I'm surprised when they don't.
Well, sure. But then we need to be surprised when people who are leading figures in the church in America don't talk about these kinds of things. It's baffling to me that Catholic leaders aren't screaming about this. It's baffling to me when you have Christian evangelicals not speaking about these things. I mean, even if that, if we didn't know this were true, but we thought it might be true, we would have to scream about it and say, in America, we can't allow this kind of thing. But obviously, whoever the evangelical leaders are in America today, they don't seem to be talking about this or interested in it. They're probably just unaware of it.
And my own Catholic Church has completely sold out. I mean, Pope Francis had a private meeting with the head of Pfizer at the very beginning of all this crisis. He could have asked them to make a vaccine, one vaccine that wasn't dependent on the abuse of the organs of unborn children. And he did not. Instead, he is using his power to force Catholics to take the vaccine. Bishop after bishop is telling priests, you may not write a letter of support for a Catholic in your diocese who wants to refuse the vaccine for moral reasons. Now, legally, we don't need that because thank God the First Amendment covers our individual religious rights. And if we don't agree with our worthless bishop, we can still practice our religion under the First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States of America. Thank God for America. But the absolute betrayal of unborn children and of the Catholic laity by Pope Francis and most of the bishops, this is the greatest scandal since the Reformation. This is the worst thing the Catholic Church has done since selling indulgences, Eric.
It's beyond belief. And again, it's beyond my ability to believe that it's only on this program that you really seem to hear much about this. I don't know how this can be happening in America, but we will do what we can while we have a voice, folks. Don't go away. It's the Eric Metaxas Show.
I won't buy your house at night and hope that I might see the guy who's got you in a spin. I wish that guy was me. I don't know why it's you I'm dreaming of. You got the way.
In case you haven't been paying attention, the Biden administration has caused a financial crisis and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And when we're already seeing record inflation, that's the last thing we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It is real. It is physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com.
Going out while you were coming in, and I'm just sitting wondering where you've been.
Hey there, friends. We're talking to John Zmirak, Z-M-I-R-A-K. John, what else shall we discuss?
Well, I'm finishing up a book, and one section of that book deals with the impact of Darwinism as opposed to intelligent design, where I say that one of the things that has made Christians so helpless and often useless in the culture is that we've accepted Darwinism as the truthful story of how human life came about. And once you accept that, Christianity is no longer a contender for explaining the way the world is, explaining the facts about the world. Instead, Christianity becomes kind of, well, science tells us that things are this way and that they happened without God, without divine intervention. Things just happen. And it's our job to sort of put lipstick on the pig and try to find ways to find meaning and order and compassion and happiness in this universe where life is the result of pure accident and the survival of the fittest is the ultimate law. That doesn't work. There is no real reconciliation possible between the universe as Darwin saw it, a series of meaningless accidents, and the universe as created by God in Genesis and in the Gospel of John, according to the logos of an exquisite divine plan in which each of us has an eternal role to play. There's no overlap between those two things.
I've been talking about this a lot of, you know, when I'm on the road, it keeps coming to me effectively what you just said, that once you buy the big lie that it's possible or probable that everything came into being without God, you're basically dead in the water. There's really nothing you can say about anything at that point. And then of course the irony is that is not what science says. That's we know from science that this is not true. But people who claim to speak for science say, oh, no, science says this. Science does not say that. But we have to fight the battle of ideas.
That's why your book is Atheism Dead is such an important tool, because it goes into and sort of skims the surface of these very deep wells of information and scholarship, which reveal that the Darwinian worldview is bankrupt. That these people have no idea how the universe came to be fine-tuned to make life possible. They have no idea how Earth came to be the only planet apparently where life is possible. They have no idea how life developed from the inert dead chemicals of a volcanic hellish earthscape that was with boiling volcanoes and meteorites. They have no idea. They have no idea how useful proteins can develop by purely genetic accident. They have no idea. They are pulling it out of their bodily orifices.
Although, John, when we say they have no idea, in a way you're being gracious and kind. They know that they have no idea. It's not just that they're on the verge of finding an idea or they might find an idea. They know that they don't know, and they are intellectually dishonest. And we have an obligation to call them out on it and to say, right, you're intellectually dishonest. You know what the facts say. You know where the facts point, and you don't like it. And therefore, you are twisting yourself into pretzels to come up with the possibility of the possibility of some thesis that's more plausible. You really can't do it, but you refuse to acknowledge it publicly.
That's right. And it's the dirty little secret of Darwinism, which is that it doesn't work. In my piece at stream.org that I hope people will check out, called Intelligent Design Makes All the Difference in the Worldview, I talk about how there are really only two modes of being for a Darwinist. You can be like Matthew Arnold. He was the Victorian skeptic who wanted to carry on all the humane, kind, civilized things that come with Christianity, the humanism, the affirmation of beauty and compassion and love, but he knew there was absolutely no metaphysical basis for them, that it was a house of cards based on nothing. And he wrote the famous poem Dover Beach, and a few of the lines are, "Ah, love, let us be true to one another, for the world which seems to lie before us like a land of dreams, so various, so beautiful, so new, hath really neither joy, nor love, nor light, nor certitude, nor peace, nor help for pain. And we are here as on a darkling plain, swept with confused alarms of struggle and flight, where ignorant armies clash by night." Now, that's the Darwinist in tragic mode, when he's thinking about all the order and beauty that he wishes were present in the universe, but admitting really that they don't exist. The other side of Darwinism you can get by watching The Triumph of the Will, Leni Riefenstahl's famous, brilliantly made Nazi propaganda film about the rise of Hitler and about the glories of the National Socialist Party. Because Darwinism, when you're in a good mood, leads you to Hitler, where you see, oh, ruthlessness and destruction of the weak are a tool towards the greater advancement and improvement of the human race. And we will become supermen, just as we are better than the Neanderthals, and we are better than people of other races than the German or the white race. Our descendants will be even better than we will, than we are. And we're going to do that through eugenics. We're going to do it through competitive war. We're going to do it through euthanasia. And we're, damn it, we can do. We can fix this. We can make.
We're going to be right back talking to John Smirak. It's the Eric Metaxas Show.
Hey, folks, I've got to tell you a secret about Relief Factor that the father-son owners, Pete and Seth Talbot, have never made a big deal about, but I think it is a big deal. I really do. They sell the three-week quick start pack for just $19.95 to anyone struggling from pain like neck, shoulder, back, hip, or knee pain, $19.95, about a dollar a day. But what they haven't broadcasted much is that every time they sell a three-week quick start, they lose money. In fact, they don't even break even until about 4 to 5 months after if you keep ordering it. Friends, that's huge. People don't keep ordering Relief Factor month after month if it doesn't work. So yes, Pete and Seth are literally on a mission to help as many people as possible deal with their pain. They really do put their money where their mouths are. So if you're in pain from exercise or even just getting older, order the three-week quick start for $19.95. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. I use it. It works.
Folks, we're talking to John Zamirak. John, tell us the title of your article at stream.org, the one that we're discussing.
Yeah, intelligent design makes all the difference in the worldview. And in it, I talk about how there are really just two modes of experiencing Darwinism. You can look at, you can view it from a tragic, elegiac sense where you say, I wish all these truths about the sanctity of the human life and the uniqueness of the individual and the virtue of family and civilized behavior and compassion for the weak. I wish all these things were true. And we're, whenever possible, I'm going to pretend that they're true. They just aren't true. But I feel like my life will be better lived if I am compassionate and if I pretend that human life has some special meaning and value. But unfortunately, if you don't really believe that, when you come to hard cases, you're not going to do it. If you're conscious that your version of Christianity is a myth, is a happy myth, a useful story, a noble lie, when push comes to shove, and let's say they want to make a vaccine out of aborted babies, or they want to abort every child with Down syndrome, or they want to do cruel experiments, so on. If you don't really believe in the sanctity of life, you're not really going to act on it. You're really going to act on a utilitarian and rather cold and icy Darwinian view of the world.
Folks, you just heard John's doorbell ring. The dogs are barking. John, what was that all about?
That was the ivermectin I ordered from the feed store.
You're not kidding.
I'm not kidding. When I open it up, it'll have a picture of a horse and a pig on the bottle. And I'm going to get a safe dosage from a doctor not to be named here. And I'm going to take it because
I'm
going
to be able to run the quarter mile in 20 seconds.
Look, my doctor offered me something called Manulpivir or something. It's this something from Big Pharma that involves spike proteins and the same weird, creepy technology that was used to create the vaccine that I'm not willing to take. I'm certainly not going to take a therapeutic based on the same kind of gene splicing technology. I'd rather take horse dewormer. So I'll let you know how it works out.
Unbelievable. Well, I while you were mentioning Matthew Arnold's famous poem, Dover Beach. And I thought, I think I have a copy of the Oxford Book of English Verse here. And I grabbed it off the shelf while you were talking. This is the 1921 version. Okay. And in here, there are about five poems by Matthew Arnold. None of them is Dover Beach, which I find interesting. It strikes me that the poem maybe was highlighted by some critic subsequent to this book, and it's only our generation that thinks of it as one of his signature poems.
Well, Matthew Arnold's whole worldview was, he called it humanism, and he believed that art and literature could create the atmosphere of morality that Christianity used to, that since Darwin had disproved Christianity, we couldn't use that. You couldn't use it. Its truth value as a basis for morality, but that we could use art and literature to create that.
But it's interesting, John, that people like Matthew Arnold, I mean, we have to give them some credit. They knew, many people like Matthew Arnold knew that the science can't be all there is. In other words, if science tells us there is no God, then why do I have this feeling that I want to be able to be kind, that I want to live a life consonant with the teachings of Jesus? What is that? And they were trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
Obviously, obviously you can't square that circle. But the reason that they wanted to was because they had this strong feeling that there must be something wrong with this bleak materialist worldview. It can't be everything.
Right. And, you know, modern people have a weird version of that same thing. On the one hand, they believe in the absolute survival of the fittest and in the meaninglessness of ordinary lives, and they're willing to abort children with Down syndrome. On the other hand, we're supposed to take every transgender athlete and treat them like they're some special snowflake, and we have to accommodate their every shifting feeling about their gender. It's really strange. The modern woke man, the modern man, is not even a Darwinian, because if you were a Darwinian, you would say, well, I guess these transgender people are kind of defective, and they're not prone, they're not going to help the survival of the fittest. We'll just sort of shove them aside. But no, we treat them as sacred. We treat every sexual eccentricity as some special thing. So what we have now is kind of a demonic parody of Christian human dignity. It's we pretend that people are unique, special, sacred snowflakes, except when we don't, when they're retarded and we just abort them. And it's completely arbitrary and completely random which group will be a scapegoat and which group will be worshipped. And then you just spin the dial and a different group gets venerated in one decade, and then it will be cast aside in the next decade. And it's as random as the whims of Willy Wonka in his chocolate factory.
Well, if you think about it, John, and you get this, reality is reality. It's a stubborn thing. God invented this universe. He is truth. And so if you try to invent an alternative truth, you cannot do it. It is not impossible to do it. So you have to really have these carve-outs that are all, obviously, they're bubbles of illogic within the greater reality of the universe. And so it's kind of funny that people, they cannot, I mean, I talk about this a lot because of the book Is Atheism Dead? People are not able to face the monstrous bleakness of a world without God and where that leads us. And so instead they ignore that and they try to create their own meaning, which is not possible.
John,
can you stick with us for a couple more minutes?
Yeah.
Don't go away, folks. We'll be right back with John Zmirak. Go to stream.org, print out the articles. We need you to do that. You need to do that. We'll be right back.
We were headline news. Crazy days and reckless nights. Limousines and bright spots. You cut out your dancing and you never see a show. Friends come by to pick you up and you hardly ever go.
Hey kids, talking to John Zmirak. John, what else?
Oh, as you said, Eric, people don't want to, can't face the bleakness and meaninglessness of a godless universe. And I think it's our job, your job and mine, to make them face it, to rub it in their face, to literally rub it in their face like you're training a bad dog in an old-fashioned style of dog training that I don't actually recommend for dogs. But for atheists, yes. Confront these people with the Darwinian logic. Tell them, when they start talking about the need to accommodate the transgender, just say, look, as far as I'm concerned, these are just negative mutations. These people, they don't conduce to the survival of the fittest. I don't think our species should be wasting resources on them. Prove me wrong. It's the same argument that you use for aborting children with Down syndrome. Make these people face the Nazi implications of their own beliefs. Force them to the brink. Make them look down into the abyss. Strip away their Victorian Matthew Arnold illusions and make them face the fact that there is no justice in a Darwinian world. Racism is not wrong in a Darwinian world. It's simply reality. It's how things work. Subspecies try to wipe each other out all the time. Try to explain anti-racism to gorillas or chimpanzees. You know what they'll do? They'll bash your face in, and you will deserve it.
They'll pull your arm off. John, it's interesting because I am usually hopeful on this score. It seems to me that reality is conspiring against people with this atheistic worldview, that it becomes more and more difficult to support it. And as I said in the book, in my book, Is Atheism Dead? You could say in 1966, well, it kind of looks like the science is pushing the idea of faith away. I can understand how it was possible. It becomes less and less possible. Science and any number of things that we've been discussing make it clearer and clearer. So people have to make more of an effort to avoid these truths. And I think some will make more of an effort, or they will maybe they'll just openly worship the devil. But I guess the point is that I think it's becoming difficult, because I think the facts, thanks to folks like you and me and our friend Stephen Meyer, the facts are coming out more and more and more and more. So I do think that there are some people who are waking up.
I think intelligent design and the truths that emerge from it are extremely important. And I found in the last 4 years, I've been reading intelligent design literature for religious comfort and for spiritual benefit, as I increasingly could not read the stuff coming out of the Catholic Church, the Leninist pamphlets and quasi-pantheist emanations emerging from the Vatican. If the Book of Revelation is becoming obscure, the Book of Nature is becoming clearer. And the fact that when we look at the emptiness of space, we see, oh, this is a magnificent backdrop that was actually physically necessary to make it possible for there to be even one planet where life was possible.
Isn't it amazing? We're out of time, but it is so amazing that the entire universe exists as a setting for the gem that is Earth, which in its own way is a setting for the gem that is man. It's extraordinary. We're out of time. John Zmirak, we love you. Thank you for what you do. You go take your ivermectin, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.